On the second Sunday of Lent, the Gospel is always an account of the Transfiguration, which is this very mysterious event in the life of the Lord, where he takes Peter, James, and John and goes up on the mountain and is transfigured before them. And basically, this is a little break, in a sense, in the miracle of the incarnation, of the fact that we do not see Jesus in glory, that we see him veiled in his humanity. But we always need to remember that eternally Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in glory. And the fact that we don't see him glorified takes a miracle, the miracle of the incarnation, just like at this Mass. It will take a miracle to veil Jesus' presence under the signs of bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist. But we should never forget, and we always need to have this understanding and experience, really, of Jesus in his glory. That is, Jesus as God. Because if Jesus isn't God for us, then we don't really know him, and we don't really serve him, if we don't really let him be God. And to be God means over everything, not just in an abstract sense, but over everything in my own life. Driving around Murfreesboro, it seems like about every other car has on a little oval sticker that says, "Jesus is Lord." Have you seen that? It's one of our churches in town spreads those around. That's a very important thing that we have to embrace, the lordship of Jesus Christ. But it needs to be more than a bumper sticker. Now, we really need to understand what this means. This is what Peter encountered in the Transfiguration and then remembered decades later when he wrote in one of his letters and recalled this event, this transformative experience of seeing and accepting Jesus as Lord. Well, what does that mean to say Jesus is Lord? Well, we have to go back to another one of these really mysterious experiences. We had one of the first reading of Abraham, of God establishing his covenant with Abraham. With these awesome experience, direct experiences with God. Very mysterious. There's another one, of course, when God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell him to let his people go. And God appears to Moses in the burning bush, as this bush that's engulfed in flame but isn't consumed by the fire. And the voice of God speaks to Moses from the flame and gives Moses this mission. And it's very interesting. Moses doesn't want to do it. And he kind of keeps sort of hemming and hawing. And one of the last things he tries to do is, well, when I go to Pharaoh and tell him this, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? What's your name? And God answers and speaks his name. A name that the Jewish people would never speak. It was too holy. Not only was God too holy, but his name was too holy to be spoken. And frankly, we couldn't even actually pronounce it even if we wanted to. Because even in its written form, we don't have the vowels. And it's hard to pronounce something without vowels, right? If you've ever seen Hebrew written, the big letters are all consonants. And the vowels are the little points and lines and things up above and below the letters. And this is never written with its vowels. We do know it's a form of the verb to be. And usually in English it's translated something like, I am who am. God is identifying himself, giving his very name as the source of being. But in any case, it was never said. But those four letters, that word appears in the Old Testament frequently. So what did the Jews do when they were reading, as they would do, like in the synagogue, for example, be reading from Scripture, and they would come across this word, if they're not supposed to say it, what would they do? Well, what they did is they just said a completely different word. It doesn't sound like it, look like it, anything. But it was safe. When they would come to the holy name, the divine name, the name of God, they would say Adonai, which is the Hebrew word for Lord. And that's why when you're reading an English translation of the Old Testament, it seems that kind of repetitive sometimes with the word Lord over and over again. Because sometimes it really is the word Lord, but sometimes it's the divine name. Sometimes in some English translations, when it's the divine name, they'll write it in all capitals. Have you ever seen that if you're reading the, that's what it means. That it's really the name of God. So on, for example, the day of Pentecost, when St. Peter went out after he had received the Holy Spirit, went out and preached that very powerful sermon after which 3,000 people were baptized, he comes out and tells to the people of Jerusalem, you know that Jesus that you crucified about 50 days ago? You made a very big mistake because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. He is the source of all being. Everything that is because of him, including you and including me. And he's got to be not just the Lord of all, but he's got to be my Lord and your Lord. I think that's what a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ really mean when they say, brother, sister, have you been saved? They mean, do you know Jesus as Lord of your life? Have you encountered him that way? The way that Peter and James and John encountered him in the Transfiguration. And there are lots of ways we do encounter him that way. I know, for example, for many years I worked in campus ministry. We had these beautiful retreats, and it'd be really always this would happen. We'd have young people, maybe who had been, really observant Catholics, maybe their whole lives. And during this retreat, during one or a number of the things that we would do, they would encounter for the first time Jesus as Lord. It would be a sort of transfiguration experience, and their lives would be changed. Sometimes we experience Jesus as Lord of our own lives after a huge failure. Maybe when we've sinned very seriously and received God's mercy. Oh my goodness. Jesus really is who he says he is. He is the Lord of my life. Knowing him as Lord changes everything. Sometimes it happens in very quiet ways, but profound and very deep ways. You can read in the lives of maybe some of the great mystics of their encounters with God and their acceptance of him as the Lord of their life. And this is necessary for the Christian life. We have to come to know Jesus as our Lord. Just like Peter, James, and John encountered him that way today. I knew a teacher one time, she had to correct this little girl in her class, and the little girl said to her, "You can't talk to me that way. That's going to damage my self-esteem." Well, a lot of us try to operate on self-esteem. You know? And that's why we run out of steam. Because there ain't enough steam in ourselves to go very far. We have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. That's what Jesus appeared to the apostles, Peter, James, and John, right before he began to reveal to them about his passion, that he was going to be going to the cross. He was showing them his glory so they would have the courage in knowing who he was to stay with him. They had to accept him as Lord. There's another funny thing that children sometimes say when you're correcting them or something like, they'll say, "You're not the boss of me." Have you ever heard of that? "You're not the boss of me." Well, we can't say that to Jesus. We can't be bratty little children. We have to let Jesus, he is the boss of you. And he's the boss of me. And it's a beautiful thing because he's not a very bossy boss. He's a boss who does this for love of us. But we have to accept his lordship freely. And that means surrendering our own lordship. You know, the great idolatry that a lot of us practice is the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. And we have to overthrow that idol and serve the true God and acknowledge Jesus is Lord. You know, it's the final words that our Blessed Mother ever gave us in the scriptures from her own lips. At the wedding feast of Cana, she said, "Do whatever he tells you." In other words, let him be the Lord of your life. But it takes really coming to know him in this way. So I encourage you. I have this strange feeling that many of you, most of you, maybe I hope all of you, have had an experience of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe one of these mountaintop experiences, you know, like on a retreat or something like that. Or maybe one of these things where the Lord just pierced your heart and you knew he was Lord. Or maybe from his picking you up off the ground in a moment of failure or grief. But whatever it is, be like St. Peter and go back and remember that again and again. And surrender your life to him. If you haven't had that experience, then please don't try to keep going on your own self-esteem, okay? Say, "Lord, reveal yourself to me as Lord. I want to surrender my life to you. Please help me." And he will do it. If we don't do this, then our life of faith will either become just sort of hollow, or we'll just run out of steam. But if we have come to know Jesus as Lord, and really submitted our lives to him, bowed down to him, surrendered ourselves to him, we can know that he will lift us up. Lift us up to share in his cross, and lift us up to share in his glory.